Yeah, so today's kind of a big day again. It's our 5-year anniversary. That's exciting. A couple other things. I just want to say, I'm going to save my tears and my
sins. I really just love you guys, and please pray. We're going to be at the Normal Heights Community Center, the Yellow Building. I'll have them pray. Praying that people become leaders, seeing those people become leaders, praying for churches, being planted in churches. It's been amazing to see all that God has done, and I honestly, like, it's so happy, honestly, but I just feel really honored and blessed to get to meet you guys for the season that I've gotten to meet you, and it's been really special. So, we'll chat more tonight, but that's what's the next big day. A couple other things, today's big day also, it's our 5th anniversary. Well, another big thing is that we have Grant Clark and Michelle Clark here from Birdside Avenue. And our main man, Mark Agard from Cape Town, was the mother Siki. Anyways, so we're done. But so anyways, today, Grant's here for a couple reasons. For one, he's one of my favorite people in the world, and I think he's one of the most gifted people that I know. He is my favorite. I think there's like 1 billion people on the continent of Africa, and you're my favorite one there. So it's high praise, I met Grant at a conference outside of Johannesburg like 4 years ago, and we had a weird moment. Like I just been like prayed over, had maybe one of those life-changing prophecies that I ever had. I was like sobbing, and then I looked over and I saw this handsome guy in a leather jacket. I saw a guy in a leather jacket, and it was Michelle, and I felt like God just told me, like, you're gonna work with that man. And it's kind of a weird way to start a combo. Hey, bro. We should work together. We should be friends. And since then, really, has been friends, really been like family to me. And not only that, but to our church. I know Grant means a lot of you guys who are here. If you've never met him before, he'll be at the party tonight, maybe some serious moves. He does a dance move like this. He does one of these. That kind of creepy, like an animal box. You can see tonight. The Lonely Island's the creep. It's his dance for every single, doesn't matter what the song is, it's doing the creep. So he's a friend, he loves us, but one other thing I just want to say is that I think this man really is gifted. We have to say we don't have guest speakers, we have a church and family, and there is a local family, right, so you have immediate family, but then you have times, you have like family reunions, and to us, really, is like our cousin on the other side of the country. But he's also a gift. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote this about the church. He said, and he, Jesus, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, so that Jesus gives these leaders to the church to bring the church to maturity. And the thing is that there's a diverse set of gifts. There's apostles, kind of church planters, missionaries, there's prophets, people that are good at discerning the voice of God and speaking into a church what God wants to do. Taking the Bible, and this is, you know, the Bible has a lot of things in it, but here's what our church needs right now, is this burden that God has put on their hearts. This evangelist about the burden for people that do not know this amazing abundant life that Jesus brings, that equips the church to grow a heart of compassion for people that are under Jesus, and equip them to share the good news with those people. The shepherd or the pastor, people that help care for the flock, literally. They keep the church safe. They help bring about the church to maturity personally. And then there's teachers who help us understand God's word, help us understand kind of what he is doing. And I really believe that Grant really is a shepherd. He is someone who looks at the church, in many churches, with just eyes of grace. I feel like Jesus looks at so many people and so many churches through like the lenses of Jesus. Again, he's been here a few times. He's spent time with us. He's probably spent more time in the last 48 hours crying over you guys than I have about the people that he loves here. So he's a bit of a weepy guy. So two things. I would say be attentive. And I know today's a celebration thing. It might just feel like a sermon is just a random thing, a busy day. But I really think he has an encouraging word for our church. We're really excited about that. So this man is gifted and his family. And so with that being said, I want to call Grant Clark. He's a shepherd without a staff. So anyways, I'll pray for you, and we'll jump in. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you. I feel this last season, I'm so tired. I felt anxious. I felt tired. There's so many things that have made me feel like it's hard for me to celebrate. God, that I think that even in today, God, I'm getting to look up and see you and see how good you are. And I'm getting to look around and see all that you've done in my life and the lives of those around me. And I'm so grateful for that. And I pray today as Grant preaches, Lord, that you would help all of us celebrate. You'd help us worship and celebrate at the same time. We worship you for your goodness and we celebrate and enjoy the gifts you've given to us. The men and women in this room who are gifts to us in Jesus. I pray for Grant. I pray that you just give him a special insight. Even though he's up here, maybe there's things that need to change as he preaches, things he needs to speak in or emphasize that he didn't even realize. I'm seeing Spirit about that, but you encouraged to do that. I pray you speak through him and you build us up to see the gospel buried in our lives and in the lives of others. So I thank you for this man, and I pray you just open our hearts today to receive him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, you guys. It really is good to be here. I look forward to being here for a long time because the last time I visited the store and preached here, we were still in John Adams. So I think I actually preached the last sermon at the school before you guys moved in. And when I came here, you guys were doing a lot of work like underground, trying to sort out the kids' ministry space and get this all ready. So I look forward to being in this space with you guys again to preach here. And I just want to say happy birthday. 5 years. You guys look really, really old. So it's good to be here, good to celebrate with you. And I think as we flew in and arrived, we ended up getting here quite late. We meant to arrive on Thursday, we got in Friday morning quite early, and Andy came and fetched us from the airport. And it really just felt so familiar being here. It really did feel like we were in a second home, in a sense. And it was just brilliant driving around. We were saying to Andy, oh man, there's that building, that's new, hey, since last time we got here. And that's a beautiful coffee shop. Didn't we have that conversation there? And we got absolutely every one of them wrong. None of the buildings were new. We hadn't been to any of the places before. So this place feels familiar, but we're still getting to know North Park. But I think, like Andy said, you guys really are family to us. You know, family on the other side of the sea. And it is just so good being here this morning and seeing friends and catching up. And just, I guess, celebrating what's going on. And I walked in this morning, and Andy's kind of being unsentimental. I think tonight he's going to cry like a little baby. You're going to be a weepy gentleman over there. But I walked upstairs, we were going to pray before the service. And Alicia, at least she had like some tears in her eyes. And I'm a sentimental guy, so I really have a bit of a choked up over this morning. I'm hoping I've got any tears or emotion out of me, so I can just be like a cold preaching robot this morning as I go. But it really is a beautiful day. And I just thought seeing all of these new members come forward and just speak about what this church has meant to them and what you've been learning and what God's been doing in your hearts has been so amazing. Because we had about a 3-year relationship with this church. And I remember the first time we came here in 2015, just being struck by the strong cultures in this church. And I think some of the people who've been up here have said it already, but this church has spoken. I think every time you guys meet, someone says, this church is not an event that you attend, it is a family on mission, or a family together, you know? And I think we experience that so strongly, how this community of people loves one another so well, and cares for one another, and is generous of heart. But you guys are on mission too. And the way you guys have almost focused your life around the purposes of God and seeing people who don't yet know Jesus trying to know him and begin to follow him and grow in their faith and grow up as disciples is just such a beautiful thing. And I think secondly, and it was said again by people up here, is the way that gospel has gone into your lives and down into your hearts is such a beautiful thing. And I think for some of you guys who started following Jesus in this church, that's just normal, you know, that you think this is the way it is. But the gospel seems to have gotten into your language and into your worldview and shaped your identity. And you guys are shaping your lives and your community around who Jesus is and what he's done. And it's so beautiful. You know, I remember being here and being struck by the way people were authentic and vulnerable about their sin and their struggles and the idols in their hearts and the things they were going through. And how this was just such a safe place for that. And some of you guys think that's normal. You know, that is not normal in a lot of churches. In a lot of churches, there is not this culture of grace that is at the center of everything. I think someone talked about that tangible experience of grace in this community. And we were just so struck by the beauty of that in the heart of this group of people. And it's just so great seeing more and more people being touched by what God is doing here. I did want to say, other than our sending church Redpoint, I think this church has shaped the culture of our church back home more than any other church. And I think probably if some of you guys come out to some of the people have, you'll feel like we are like distant relatives across the sea. Come and join us next year. It will be great to see you guys having a driven. But it's been beautiful watching this church grow. When we first came out, this church was 2 churches around Southern California. It was here in South Bay now. You've added Temecula, you've added Northridge. I don't know next time we're here what is will be added, what new churches will be going on, but it's just so good seeing what God is doing. And today we want to celebrate, you know? In Acts chapter 11, Paul, the apostle, looks at a church and he sees that he says that he can see the evidence of God's grace among them. He can actually see the hand of the Lord among them and what he's doing. And I think for some of you guys, probably like your head is down, you're involved in what's happening in this church, you're busy with the work of ministry, and maybe you can miss the fact that there's just such tangible and clear evidence of God's grace, that his hand is on you. This is a rare community. So one of the guys who were up here said, this is a special place where God is doing something unique and beautiful. And we do feel like these kind of extended family here today. And I think probably like Paul the Apostle writing to churches that he loved, and then coming to see them and catch up and see the work that God was doing and seeing the people that he loves. I think we feel very much like that today. So I want to read a text that kind of fits in with all of that. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Romans 16. Otherwise, you can just follow on the screen. Romans 16, verse 1 to 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever way she may need from you. But she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They were well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Amphiotus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Statius. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. How well did I pronounce all of those names? Some of you guys are sitting there and you're like, why on earth would he choose a list of names like that for our 5-year anniversary? Does he not know this is a big deal? Like, we could have done something a little bit more festive and fun to celebrate today. And I promise you, like, the list of scriptures are not the cool ones back home in Durban. That's not the thing our church is like gaining for. Give us the list of scripture. But it's actually amazing what is inside of this text. And I'm hoping as we look at this a little bit more, you'll see why I chose this. And really, here in Romans 1, verse 16, verse 1 to 16, you see this amazing passage, which the big idea behind it all is that this community of people are co-workers in the gospel. Co-workers together in what Jesus is doing in the city of Rome and today in North Park. And it's a really amazing thing. Just think of different people, probably as the different people who came up now and just spoke about their experience in the church. You saw they looked different, they spoke different. Some were funny, some were serious, some were really prepared, some were off the cuff. And in this community, you've got a similar thing like that. Different strengths, different weaknesses, different backgrounds, different experiences and ministries. Some of you guys may be ENFJ, some are ISTPs, whatever you might be of Myers-Briggs. But they're unique and different people in this room. And it's amazing how God brings you together and unites us inside a restored church for the purposes of what he's wanting to do in North Park and beyond. And it's amazing to think what Jesus was doing in Rome 2,000 years ago is the same thing that he's doing in North Park in 2017. And that he's wanting to do through you guys into the city and to the United States and the rest of the world too. I want you guys to know that that's what Jesus has been doing the last 5 years, you know, through this community. Not the one or two or five or however many people might be up here on Sundays. This is not the big game. It's actually this community of people working together as co-workers in the gospel that are seeing Jesus do his work in this neighborhood and beyond. Restored church is not built on the gifts and talents of a few, but the sacrifice of many. And that's how he's going to continue to work through you guys. This morning, I think God really wants to celebrate that. He wants to celebrate unique people. He wants to celebrate unique stories. He wants to commend some of you. And that's exactly what Paul does in this list of interesting names. And he starts talking about a woman named Phoebe. And in Romans 16, verse 1, it says that Paul commends Phoebe. And I think there's probably a lot of people who need to be commended today for the work that's gone into the last 5 years of this church. And maybe this morning that'll happen. Maybe tonight it'll happen a bit. But I just thought maybe if someone isn't mentioned today who has impacted your life in a significant way, why don't you go up to them after this and say thank you? You might not know this. You know, you often think people know that they touched your life. People know that they blessed you in some way. I want to encourage you to go up to them and say, you don't realize that that moment when you prayed for me or gave me that gift or came right or helped me or whatever it was, how that changed my life. Thank you for doing that. You are a blessing in this community and you've been a blessing to me. But when Paul's speaking about Phoebe, we actually don't know too much about her. We know that she's a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. And it seems like Paul knows her because he was based in Corinth for a while. Cenchrea was just down the road. And now that she's moved all the way to Rome, Paul is saying, you really should get behind this lady. You should serve. You should help her. Because she has been an incredible servant to me and many other people. And you can just imagine her getting stuck in with what's going on in the church. Like, ministries need help. People need help. She sees a gap. She's involved and she's helping out. And Paul said she's also a patron of many people. And that probably means that she was contributing financially to Paul's ministry and probably to a whole bunch of other people that were going around with the gospel, planting churches and advancing God's kingdom. She was investing financially to that. And she was probably also showing hospitality to people. You know, we're staying with Paul and Nicole at the moment. We're going to be staying with Steve and Abigail next week. I really hope you guys can live up to the hype that Paul and Nicole have set. She's been amazing. The tacos on Snap were incredible. But Phoebe probably would have been one of these people that as people came to town, as churches were being planted, she would have assisted and helped in the work of what God was doing at that time. And as I read about her, I thought it was so significant that Paul puts Phoebe first in this list. He highlights one of the ladies, and I've noticed over the three times we've been here, the incredible ladies in Restored Church, and how they work hard. You see, Paul says it again and again in this passage. They work hard for the gospel, and they work hard to see this church built up. And I want to honor the ladies in this church who pray and serve and sacrifice and given and just poured out your lives for other people to see God at work inside of them. On top of that, it seems like Phoebe is a single lady. There's no mention of a husband. And I just thought for the single guys and girls in the room today, you know, maybe you're single for now, maybe you're single for life, but don't wait. Don't actually put your life on hold. Say, I'm going to serve Jesus down the line. Phoebe wasn't waiting for Phil. You know, Phoebe and Phil, we're going to do this together for Jesus. Phoebe was like, I'm following Jesus now. I want to do what he's called me to now, you know, this time. And she's doing it. She's serving in the church. She's a deacon in the church. She's a blessing in Cenchrea. She's being a blessing in Rome. And it seems like she's invested all of this money into people. And now she's taking the book of Romans, probably the greatest theological letter of all time. She's the one that Paul entrusts this letter to carry to the church in Rome. It's probably the letter that theologians have loved and that has shaped the church more than any other over the last 2,000 years. And she is the one who wrote that letter. What is it that maybe God is calling you to at this time? Paul starts talking to one of the single ladies in the church, and then he goes on to a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. And maybe you know them, maybe you don't. They are probably like the most lethal New Testament couple that probably so many people don't know about. And really, they're just powerful in how God uses them. We get introduced to them in Acts chapter 18. And the Emperor Claudius has done this really big purge in Rome. He's kicked all of the Jewish people out of Rome because of a whole lot of stuff that's going on around Jesus and the gospel. And they end up in Corinth, and they bump into Paul, and they just click, kind of like Andy and I. And they start this tent-making business together, and they start planting churches together. So that's what they were about, making tents, planting churches. That was like the slogan of their business. And they were this incredible couple. You know, they start in Corinth. Seems like there's a church going on in their home there. And then they travel later in Acts chapter 18 with Paul to Syria. And then after Syria, they end up being based in Ephesus for a while. There's a church based in their home in Ephesus. And then Apollos is like this famous preacher, known for preaching the gospel all around the ancient Middle East. He comes into their home. And Priscilla and Aquila sit him down. They're like, we're going to teach you more fully the way of God. And they counsel him and they disciple him. He's gifted, but he needs to grow. And they play that role in his life. And then they end up in Rome. See that in Rome? Rome 16. Now all of a sudden there's a church meeting in their home in Rome. They've been in Corinth, they've been in Ephesus, Rome. These three huge cities all around the empire. They have facilitated what God has been doing there. And it's not like the Bible ever says they were apostles or elders or deacons. They never get given a title in the passage. All we know is they're business people. They run tent-making businesses, you know? They were part of this kind of tent boom that was going on all around the empire. This entrepreneurial group, I was thinking, I don't know what their business was. Tents are us sounds a little bit too 90s, you know? I know you guys have got like an outdoor camping store called Rogue based in this community. Yeah. Or maybe a Rogue, not too bad. I was thinking, what about Outdoor World or Scout? Or the Great Outdoors? TGO could be a good store name. So these shows are like popping up all around the Middle East, all around like this ancient Roman Empire. And while they went from place to place, starting new franchises, at the same time they were helping to see churches found. There seemed to be this wealthy couple, successful at business, with these huge homes that could facilitate like 30 to 70, maybe 100 people in their homes, gathering to serve Jesus and to see the gospel advance. Because God may be calling you to something like that in this city, or maybe another city, another neighborhood in San Diego. But Paul writes down three more couples in this list in Romans 16. The first is Andronicus and Junius. Seem to be a husband and wife couple. We've also got Philologus and Julia. And then we've got these two sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. And I've been told that Restored is going through like the second wave of pregnancies at the moment. Apparently there's like a little bit of dispute, so maybe you don't know about some of these than I do. But there's at least seven ladies in the church pregnant at the moment. Any pregnant ladies want to raise their hands? It's a beautiful thing to celebrate today, yeah? But I just thought, actually, like, reading through those names, maybe there's some inspiration for some of you guys. Not gonna call their kids. So my suggestion, Andronicus Stroman, what do you think? Or Philologus Jones? Or Trafina or Trafosa Labor? Is this some suggestion? Or maybe Appenitus is more your vibe. That's a good one. It's not my favorite name in the list, but maybe that works for you. In Romans 16, verse 5, Paul writes and says, "Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia." And you see again and again in this list, Paul says, "My beloved, my beloved, my beloved." It's like he loves these people. He knows the people in the church. Church is family. That is something that matters to Paul. It's a culture he's creating in the churches that he's a part of. And I know we've already talked about that today, but that's something we see so strongly and beautifully in this church. You know, Shell and I have experienced it the three times we've visited, but people from our church have been here too. Kellen and Tabani were there out a year ago. James took them down into Mexico. They're at the time of their lives. They were taken care of. And Josie Hardy, when she was here just a few weeks or months ago, like, she was loved so well. She had so much fun with you guys. She was working with Royce and Scott and with Ali and others, and she loved it. And when her grand died while she was here, it was amazing seeing how this church rallied around her and cared for her and bought her flowers and wrote her letters and just loved her while she was in a different country, a different church, a different community. You guys do that so well. And I'm going to encourage you, going into the next 5 years of Restored, don't lose that. You know what can happen? It's something that is such a strong value, just like we've got that. We can move on to the next thing, you know? And all of a sudden, like, clickiness starts to creep into the church. Or you stop thinking about the outsides, the new people to the community, and bringing them into the center of what's going on. And you just hang out with your mates. Now we love each other, we're family. Or maybe you just stop loving people because it's costing too much. It's too much of a sacrifice. It's just too hard. So you go into these next 5 years, don't let that value slip or drop. Love people even better than you have in the first half decade of the life of this church. Epaphras was the first convert to Jesus in Asia. And I said to Andy, who was the first convert in Restored? Like, who was the first person who started to follow Jesus in this church? And he said, Ashley Stroman. Why don't you stand up? I know, I'm going to cry too. It's going to be a little nervous, but it's a beautiful thing. Can we give, let's just run before we go. If you don't know, Ashley's on staff at this church. She's preached in this church. She's shepherded a bunch of people in this church and invested into your lives. When she came out to South Africa, she led our church in prayer for you guys. She preached at the church that we were sent from. It's amazing to see what God has done in your life in 5 years. And you might know the story, you might not, but after Ashley became a follower of Jesus, her husband Scott did too. He preached here a few weeks ago. He's one of the leaders in this church. And then after that happened, then his sister Jamie became a follower of Jesus, and she was really involved in this church. And I think in a way you could say she was sent to help serve the plants up in LA. Really, I think Stephen just stole her heart and stole her heart. But she's leading the kids ministry in that space now. She's been a Christian less than 5 years. And I believe that your brother Jason, who's also become a follower of Jesus, is going to be bartending tonight at the party. So it's amazing to see the knock-on effect of the gospel being planted in hearts on the soil of the city and people's lives being impacted by Jesus. I think we need to go like all around the world. I think that's Kansas is the first convert to Jesus in Asia. I was just thinking with the next Restored churches, who will be the first converts in those areas, you know? They might come here and stand up on stage and share a testimony of how God has drawn them to himself. Or maybe you'll go there and visit and you'll meet them and they'll say, yeah, I was the first person who started following Jesus in this church. You wouldn't believe it. I'm on staff now. I'm preaching now. I'm leading groups now. I'm involved in the life of what is going on here. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus and Narcissus. These guys are mentioned in verse 10 and verse 11. And now what the commentators believe is that Aristobulus was a grandson to Herod the Great, and he was a really big mate of the Emperor Claudius. So he died when this letter had been written, but actually there was a church that existed in his home. So in the royal family of what's going on in the Roman Empire, there's like a little church that snuck in there. And then Narcissus was a rich and famous kind of freed slave. And it was a similar situation. There's a church that was meeting among his people, but it's an interesting story. He had committed suicide, and the slaves that he had, the people of his household, had been transferred to the Emperor Nero at that time. So actually, as Paul writes, there's a church going on in Nero's household, and Nero was probably the greatest persecutor of the church at that time. He literally set fire to the Roman Empire, and there was such great destruction, and he blamed it on the Christians. And he just started to persecute and kill Christians all around the empire. I read about it recently. What he did is he actually would take animal hides and tie them to the backs of the Christians and send them out and release the hounds, release the dogs to go rip them to pieces and kill them. Or he crucified the followers of Jesus at that age and then set the crosses on fire and lined the driveway to his palace to keep everything lit up at night. It's the kind of hatred that this man had for Jesus and his church. But there's a church meeting in his home. It's amazing, eh? One of the historians from back in the day, Josephus, writes, "The cruel, worthless, and diabolical Nero was at this time emperor of Rome, but it is not improbable that the Empress Poppaea was favorably inclined to Christianity and was a worshipper of the true God. This man hates the church, but somehow the gospel has gotten into his wife's heart, and she's following Jesus." Isn't it incredible to think of that? Another historian, Jerome, says that Paul had converted many in Paul's family. "For being by the emperor cast into prison, he became more known to his family and turned the house of Christ's persecutor into a church." I just thought for some of you guys here who've lost hope for your family, for your friends, for your bosses, for people who just seem so closed off to Jesus, actually you wouldn't lose hope. That actually Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Even in such a cruel, tough situation, the message of Jesus was going right undercover among the most influential people in the empire at that time. And he can do it again here in North Park, here in San Diego today. The gospel is powerful. And we mustn't lose hope in its ability to transform our lives and those that we love and are praying for. I'll end with just one more name on Paul's list. Rufus. Romans 16 verse 13 says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, but being a mother to me as well." And the reason why this story has stuck out to me is because this Rufus, according to the commentators, is mentioned one other place in the scriptures. It's in Mark 15, verse 20 to 22, where Jesus is being crucified. And it says, "And when they had mocked him," when they had mocked Jesus, "they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes in him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, and then they crucified him." And I was thinking of this man, Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene is in modern-day Libya, so he's from Africa, he's a brother of mine. And this guy was going into town, probably for the Passover in Jerusalem. And you can imagine he'd heard about Jesus. You know, Jesus was preaching the gospel all over the empire. He was healing the sick and casting out demons, and miracles were happening. There was like a lot of talk about Jesus. He was famous. And he arrives in Jerusalem at that time. And while he's in there, you know, there's like a lot going on, a real hubbub situation. And he just sees crowds all around, and there's like people going through the streets because there's a crucifixion happening. And he's amongst the crowd, and he's watching what's going on. Next thing he knows, Jesus comes past, covered in blood, absolutely brutalized, carrying this cross on his back. And he's falling down because he just can't keep going. And a Roman guard reaches out and grabs him and pulls him and says, "You carry this man's cross." And you can imagine for Simon of Cyrene, he doesn't want to be involved in this, you know. He doesn't want to be associated with Jesus. He doesn't want this inconvenience. He doesn't want the blood on his clothes. So he's like, pushes back, and the guy says, "You will carry the cross." And you can imagine him putting his arm around Jesus with a cross on his back and starting to walk towards Golgotha, this hill where Jesus would be crucified, supporting Jesus for the last hours of his life. And I just thought of what that encounter must have been like, you know. For Simon, he would have known what it meant for Jesus to be crucified. You know, Jesus in Mark 8 verse 34 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark, better than anyone, understood that because he had literally carried the cross of Jesus on his back. He had the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for the sins of the world stained his clothes on his skin as he walked that day. And I wonder if it's like he carried Jesus on his cross to the hill. Whether Jesus said anything to him, you know? He whispered to him or spoke to him in any way. But this man would have been there for the last hours of Jesus' life, watching Jesus go through the agony of crucifixion, watching the sky turn black and go dark as God's judgment was poured out on the sins of the world on top of Jesus. And Simon, that's for mine too. He's dying on the cross for my sins too. Can you imagine that moment as he watched Jesus die? Maybe heard Jesus' last words, but was there with him for the last few hours. Can you imagine almost being shell-shocked in this experience, you know? Going home, and his wife is livid when he gets home. She's like, where have you been? You missed dinner, it's cold, and I want to go have a bath and have a glass of wine. You take care of the kids. And he's like, honey, you need to sit down. You are not going to believe what's been going on the last few hours. You know, and she sits down, skeptical at first, as he speaks about the man that he helped take to the cross. This Jesus, this famous man in the area at this time. She sits there, overwhelmed. I can imagine just lying there, just unable to go to sleep that night, just thinking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus. And eventually, he decides to become a follower. Like a number of you guys up here today, I'm going to follow this man. And his wife watches as his heart changes, as his life changes. And the way he treats people starts to change as the gospel shapes his life around it. And she begins to follow Jesus too. You can imagine those kids growing up in that home, you know. He's just always quoting the same thing. So he's got such a revelation of the cross and of the blood of Jesus and of the crucifixion. He's just always going on about it. They're like, Dad, stop. And he's quoting Galatians 2:20. I was crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. All of these things about actually dying with Jesus because he's lived it. He's lived it, you know. His kids are like, Dad, you want to go play? I don't know, X or whatever the kids are doing. He said, well, Dad, you want to go play? No, you need to know about this Jesus. And 20 years later, in another city far away, we've got Rufus, the son of Simon, following Jesus, serving in the church in the most important city in the world at that time. This lineage of God's grace trickling down through Simon to his sons, probably to their kids and their kids too. Such a beautiful thing. That's what maybe for you. Maybe your lineage has changed in this church. You said it, Maria said, actually our kids are going to grow up with your kids as the gospel reshapes our lives and this community. And maybe you're here today, and you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't get why people serve into this church thing. No. My friend forced me to come, they said, it's the anniversary, just come, it'll be fun of him. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, I don't get, apparently my friend gives money to this church, like Annie was talking about, they give money, and they spend so much of their time here, and they pray, and they're so different to how they used to be. It's because of this Jesus. Like Simon, like Rufus, like these many other people on the list, they've encountered him. He's alive, he's real, he's transformed your friend's heart, my heart. And we're starting to follow him and see what he does. I want to ask, are you following Jesus today? Have you encountered him? Has he transformed your heart and your life? And are you playing the role that he has called you to play in this church and joining the mission of what he is doing through this church in North Park and beyond? So after all of these names, Paul's just trying to cram in the last few. He's thinking, what about this person? What about this person? And he just rattles up the secrets of Phlegon, Hermes, Patras, Hermas, the brothers Phil, runs through all of these other names because Paul doesn't want to forgive anyone. And it blows my mind because Paul's never been to Rome. Paul's never been to this church. He's never hung out with these people in their city. So somehow there's some kind of global gospel relational thing going on where they've met and he's met them, and actually they've been partnering all around the world. And I think that's one of the things God wants to speak to you guys about today, Restored. I really feel like the word of the Lord to you, like Colossians chapter 1, that all around the world this gospel is increasing and bearing fruit. And I think God is wanting you to look outwards. The gospel is at work in this community. But I think he's speaking to you about other cities and other states and other countries all around the world, that you would partner together to see the kingdom of God come and advance and to see him glorified. It's amazing to read this chapter. This is just about the church in Rome. But I thought, what about the story uptown, you know? What about the stories of what God has been doing in this community? And I really think there are many people today that need to be commended and be honored. So I thought maybe we could just take a few minutes to do that. I thought first, Andy and Jackie, why don't you guys stand? Romans 13:17 says we should give honor where honor is due. And I think probably after 5 years of sacrificing and pouring out your lives, honor is definitely due to you guys. You know, there'll be some nice speeches said tonight, but I want to honor you guys for who you have been, for pouring out your lives from this church and the churches that God has been using you to invest into, to strengthen and plant all around this area. And I thought of your leadership and sacrifice over these last 5 years. Andy, maybe I'll start with you. You know, you've got an incredibly generous heart. You guys might not know this, but every time Andy speaks to me about people from this church, he cries. He gets that kind of like, you're saying really well, some of the members, new members are speaking. But Andy cries because he loves you guys. He cares so deeply for this church. And it's been amazing seeing his generous heart, you know, the way he's loved us. Because I'm sure that just indicates some of the way that he's loved you guys. About 4 months ago, we relaunched our church, and Andy and Adam flew all around the world to be with us for 2 days to support and encourage us with all that was going on. It was this amazing surprise. Just such a beautiful thing. And you really do have such a generous heart, dude. I think you love a good grand gesture. And I really pray for God to honor you for just the way you love him and the way you love people so, so well. You've got an amazing shepherd's heart, dude. I think just the way you care for people is so beautiful. But also like this apostolic mind and heart to plant and strengthen churches and see God's kingdom advance. And I think like as Andy shared, you know, just almost a dependence on the Spirit. The fact that he would come up to me at that weird conference and kind of hit on me a little bit and ask me to come up here and be with you guys. It's amazing how God led him in that way. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't be here today. You know, it's just such a special privilege to be here with you guys. And Jackie, I think you are so incredibly wise and gracious, you know. You care for people so well. You also have this huge pastoral or shepherd's heart. Just the way you speak about people and the way you invest into people is so, so beautiful. I think, like, in many ways, Andy's got a fun spotlight role, you know? You've got the shadow background kind of role. But I just feel like you are almost the secret weapon in the story, you know? And I want to honor you for the way you sacrificed, probably in the shadows for years now, almost to empower this church to be who it's called to be, and for Andy to do something. Stop it, dude. For Andy to do some of what he's called to do. And I just think God sees, you know? He sees every sacrifice. He sees everything. He sees everything you've laid down, and almost as a church to be blessed and to be built. I just want to honor you guys. I think you guys are absolutely incredible. I wanted to ask the elders to stand. So, no, don't sit down yet, you guys. Royce and Harry, can you guys stand up? I think here the elders stand here. Guys, leaders are a gift to a church, and these guys are a gift to restore, you know? And the ladies are in the room now, but I just want to say, without leadership, nothing happens. Without leadership, stuff doesn't go anywhere. And you guys are blessed with these leaders, these elders who love Jesus and love you, and are actually serving hard at leaders. There's a lot of leaders in churches who actually don't get their hands dirty, you know? They get other people to get their hands dirty, but these people are people who actually get their hands dirty in people's lives and in the work of what God is doing in this church. I just want to honor you guys. I'd love getting to know all of you. And I just think what God is doing there is just so, so special. But you guys take a seat. I ask the gospel community leaders to stand. Would you see you? Come on, let me stand. You guys are absolutely incredible. You know, the way you guys invest into people's lives. I lived at GC for 10 years. The way people come into your home and just leave you dry, all your coffee or beer or toilet paper or whatever it is that people in your culture use. You have to clean up after they leave. And then there's the preparation and the prayer and the care for people that goes on all of the time. You guys are heroes in the life of this church. The way you've cared for people in need and the struggles going on, the way you've exerted energy and sacrifice to see just a small change go on inside of people's lives. You know, Paul speaks about change from one degree of glory to the next. And sometimes those degrees are very small to notice and see. But I just want to say your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want to honor you guys for how you build community and how you instill culture into this church. You guys are such an incredible blessing. Now, can we give them another round of applause? There were five guys who preached for the first time during the 2 Timothy series. So I ask you guys to stand. So all five students stand. As soon as I look at it, we have four in the room. Adam, dude, probably you sit in the back. Okay, fine, you can sit in the back. So but I thought I really wanted to honor you guys. And Alicia also preached her first 2 sermons this year. Alicia, why don't you stand and sing? I listened to bits and pieces of all of the sermons. I think Alicia's first sermon prayer was so powerful. And I just think everyone got powered so well. Maybe we'll do it next time. Maybe you can try again. But it's just so beautiful. You guys are seeing new members added, new people begin to follow Jesus, new groups started, new churches planted. This is a church where a culture of multiplication is lived out. I think this is such a beautiful thing. Some churches got one or two people preaching. You guys had five over the last few weeks. That is an incredible thing. So the hand of God is upon you guys. It's so great to see new leaders come through and all that God is doing. Why don't you guys take your seats? I thought, since they're hosting us, I thought Paul and Nicole should probably stand too. Just because they're hosting us. Well, man, that's the best taco meal of my life last night. We spent about 4 hours just like preparing and cooking. But dude, I just want to honor you for the sacrifice and investment that you've made into people in this church. You know, you guys have both been involved planning here and planning up in LA, which is just such a special thing. You guys can get to that third church. It'll be on the same level as Priscilla and Aquila. So I'm really hoping you guys can get there. But Paul, dude, the way that you love people and care for people, as we've spoken over the last few days, just your heart for people and the situation that they're going through is just so beautiful. And Andy was telling me the other day about the Sunday evening dinners you used to do, where you'd invite people into your home and you'd cook for them. You'd say, bring your friends, you know, bring your friends. Apparently your sword was going through a bit of a growth spurt. And like you created community and like almost a magnet to draw people in. A number of those people are sitting here today following Jesus because of the space you created. You know, well done for investing into and sacrificing for this church to be grown, man. Nicole, you also, you uprooted to come and help plant this church. You uprooted again to go and plant up in LA. Like, you guys are church planting veterans, you know, at a young age, and you could have a few more in the hat. But I don't want to say you guys see that. You've done whatever's needed to see these churches established, Nicole. I just want to honor you for that. And I know that you've invested into a ton of people. I just thought, like, if Nicole's invested into your life personally, do you want to raise your hand? Maybe just as a way so that she could be encouraged. Why don't you take a look around, Nicole? Why don't you just have a little look? You've been a blessing to many of the people here. Why don't you guys take a seat? I really want to talk to Brady Johnson. Brady, why don't you take a seat? Woo! Woo! Yeah, I'm going to get you today. It's not so weird. But I was involved running the AD team at our old church for about 2 years, and it's the most thankless job. So if you don't know, Brady runs all the tech stuff here. It's not like something he's paid for. This is his time on the side. He used to serve this church, run teams, organize volunteers, deal with all the tech stuff. And it's thankless because everyone expects it to work. So when anything goes fine on a Sunday, everyone's like, that's what's meant to happen. When something goes wrong, everyone turns around and gives you like a stink out because they don't miss it all. So I want to thank you for the time and investment that you've made into serving the church through that area. It's really, really beautiful, dude. I'm not going to be able to do everyone, but can I ask Bianca, Ellie, Abigail, Hillary, Adam, to stand? Bianca, a little evangelist in the workplace, huh? Bianca came out to South Africa and spent some time at our church, and her and Brad Saron did this amazing training for our church. I think maybe the best thing we've done this year. And I think probably like 6 people from our church shared the gospel in the next 12 hours with people in their lives. I think we're just so pumped up and excited about it all. And I thought it'd be really cool for Sarah to stand. Sarah, why don't you stand? I know like you've just been welcomed as a member, but I heard your story, I don't know, 6 months ago. I know that you shared it with this church, but I wanted you to know that your story about, I guess what God has done through Bianca and how she's kind of loved you in the workplace and shared the gospel really stirred our people up to share their faith. So your story is known all around the world, the story of God's grace in your life. I think this is such a cool thing, you guys. I just thought Ellie, like, I remember last year being here and just watching you run ragged to get things going for the conference at the Monica Warehouse. I know that's just like one picture of how you've been so involved with stuff going on in this church. But it was just such an incredible event. I think so many people said that was the best church conference they've ever been to. You know, and I know like you were super involved in that. So I want to honor you for that and the many other things you do in this church. I think Abigail, I know like you've also been super involved in events and getting stuff done. You're involved in that. Last time I was here, you were trying to get this kids ministry room done. And you had a serious deadline. And that was hard work. Well done for investing into this church. And then again, I know like the many hours you spent with the Sunday admin over the last few years, also helping this church to run well. Because I think this church, well, the size of this is incredibly well organized and incredibly well ordered. So I just want to honor you guys and commend you guys for everything that you've done. Can we give them one last round of applause? I just thought maybe like the last thing, Carl, can I ask you to stand? I don't know, it's kind of the room, I haven't met him. Plus, I just thought, like, I really feel like God is speaking about almost like you guys looking outward. And I've shared it already, but that picture of all around the world, the gospel is increasing and bearing fruit. I just think this is such a cool example. Like, I know you guys are preparing to go definitely to Morocco now, you know, somewhere in the 1040 world to share the gospel with people from the Muslim faith so that they could come to know Jesus. I think it's such an exciting moment, you know. And I'm so excited to see this story unfold and what God is going to do with you guys. So can we give a cheer for them in advance? I just really want to end saying, almost Paul paints this picture of this community of co-workers in the gospel and how they were all working together in their areas to see the gospel advance and people's lives change and areas change as the kingdom of God comes. And it's amazing to see the hand of God on you guys and the gospel bearing fruit among you. So I want to end in prayer, and I want to thank God for what's happened in the first 5 years, and I want to pray for what is to come. And I trust that you leave here today with faith in your hearts for the rest of the journey that's to come. So Father, we honor you today for 5 years in North Park, 5 years of restored uptown. But God, I thank you for every person that you have added to this church and every person who started to follow you through this church. I thank you for every person who has poured out blood, sweat, and tears to see this church growing. Those who have worked hard for the gospel in this community, Lord God. We thank you for every prayer answered, every person who started to follow you, every new leader, every new group, every new ministry, everything you've done over these last 5 years. And we pray for more, Lord. As we look ahead to the next five, we are full of expectation for what you are going to do. And we pray, Lord, that you would do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We believe that you are able to do such incredible things, Jesus. And we're excited to be part of the ride.